Hello everyone.
Hello, hello.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tally.
And we are the Lazy Book Lovers. This is a podcast for book lovers who procrastinate about reading and have never-ending to-be-read piles.
I didn't know you were about to start recording, and then you just started talking, and I was like, oh, wait, hang on.
Sorry, it's good to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, just checking you're paying attention and haven't melted. It is very hot today in the UK. We're melting. Now you're caught up. Today's episode, we're trying something a bit different. I don't even have a catchy name for it yet. I've called it like
two book girls, presentation. One book.
There's two girls, two books.
Two girls, two books. No, I was trying to like make a play on that viral dodgy video. Two girls, one cup.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, cool. Don't Google familiar. It if you don't know.
Yeah, or at least...
If you're younger and you have no clue what I'm talking about, please don't Google it.
If you are a millennial from the UK, this was a canon event.
Canon event.
That and sausage spin.
No, don't know what that is.
Did you not have that one?
No.
So it was this one where it's a spinning...
Willy. Sausage.
Spinning sausage. And it has a counter of how many times it spins.
Like someone's helicoptering it?
Yeah, and it just goes infinitely. I know this because...
Is it on loop?
Yeah. Oh. I don't know. No, the counter just keeps going.
Oh.
I don't really know how that works.
Interesting.
Yeah. I do know the counter just keeps going up because my ex once left it on my computer for several hours during a house party.
Yeah, anything involving a willy, I'm turning it off. I don't want to see that. That's gross.
It was just spinning. Like, who needed that?
No, it's not sexy. It's not silly. It's just gross to put away, I think. I recently read
a We've book. Derailed this. I haven't even told them the topic yet.
I recently read a book with the creature had one of those penises that like you is in a slit and it pops out and then they take it.
Like in the Soul Keepers series.
I've not read that yet, but yeah.
Yeah, Salter Hill and all them.
I like that idea.
Well, it just tucks itself away.
I don't want it jibbling about.
It is weird, right? Like, have you ever had this dystopian moment when you go swimming and you're just like, those are floating all around me?
No, well, like, but I will now.
All around you.
Yeah, and trunks always have like quite big legs. They're literally like flopping about everywhere.
Floating in the water.
With just a tiny little net.
Yeah. With you.
Yeah.
So I told that to someone. Who did I tell that to? I think I told that to my boyfriend.
Yeah, and was he in agreement?
He was like, no one thinks like that. And I was like, Well, yeah, I do. Ours are neatly tucked away. Yours aren't.
Agreed. So what's this episode?
Oh, God, that derailed quickly. Jesus Christ.
Last week's episode, we were much better.
No, we had quite a few big tangents in that.
Yeah, but we at least got through the intro.
So... what we're doing today, which I haven't come up with a fun name with, this is how we ended up where we were, is we've both got a book each that we're going to spend half the episode presenting to you / each other to kind of like persuade you to read it or just tell you about it. So it's not like a full episode on one book, but you get two sort of in-depth dives into two books, or in my case, I've picked a series because I am who I am.
I also picked a series.
Oh, fuck!
So that's fine.
Okay, well, neither has stuck to the assignment, which is fine.
Exactly.
On brand, yeah. Yeah. So, I can't believe neither has picked one book, which is the point.
I was like, oh, because I left it very well. I basically arrived with no prep, and I was like, right, I have to pick my book, and I was like, right, it's between these two series.
What can I talk about off the bat with no preparation? Okay.
Rather than just ask Tony what I was supposed to prep, I was like, I'll just wing it.
I also sent you a screenshot last night, but it wasn't the full explanation, so I guess that was like...
So I was like, eh. Could have asked. Didn't.
Especially last time you were here, I was like, I've got this idea, I've put it in the planner, do you like it? And you were like, yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and then last night I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say about it, though. And then this morning I was like, shall I message Tony and ask? And I was like, nah, it's all right.
Nah, it'd be fine. We've made it this far.
I was like, I'll just let her go first and we'll just go from there.
All right, so I'm going first, am I?
Yeah. And I'm just going to mimic the structure of yours.
Okay. I love that.
Let me know how it goes, guys.
Oh my god, I just came over just so warm. I have quite a warm room. Basically, I don't have to turn the heating on in the summer, in the winter, for this room. It retains heat quite well.
But Tiny has, like, rainforest plants in here that thrive, so... Oh, I mean, one that almost gets killed I mean, by me.
I don't know. Look at also this crispy baby.
Oh, yeah. Maybe too hot?
I think I mucked up the watering and then we've been hot and then cold and then hot and then cold in this country.
Not
and
cold. Yeah.
Just not good for the little wee exotic plants.
Little planties.
Little plants.
And then I came in and destroyed a home for one of the plants.
I mean, it's fine because another one's also leapt to its death
another
this week.
Another one bites the dust.
Another one has bitten the dust, quite literally.
Right. Tell me all about this series that's a book.
I have read this series and talked about it in the podcast before, but not really in depth.
Yeah.
And I don't hear much hype about this on the book talk world, on the tinternets, on the YouTubes, on the Instagrams, and I feel like it deserves more notice. So I've decided to be
that
be the
person.
One.
You've taken the mantle.
Yes, I'm a brave soldier. The Ember in the Ashes series by Sabaa Tahir.
Oh, yeah.
I finished this series a couple of years ago. The last book came out. So it's a complete series. It's 4 books. I saw a thing calling it a quartet. That's not a fucking thing.
It is a quartet.
No, quartet is like music.
Yeah, but in terms of books, it's a quartet.
Quadrilogy. What word I can't say. Quadrilogy? Quadrilogy.
Quartet.
I don't like his music. Quartet. It's like calling the 2 books duet. I hate that. It's a duology.
I've only seen...
So we can't go duet, trilogy, quartet.
I've only seen people use quartet. I've never seen people use quadrology. Trilogy plus one.
Anyway, it's a complete
no,
series.
That's a good point. I've never seen anything used but a quartet.
But then 5 books is called...
5 books.
My brain's not working. I can't think of
my son wanted me to tell him like all of the groups of like twins. Yeah. So we did twins, triplets, etc, etc. So I googled it because I was like, I don't know. And they only have names for up to 9. And I was like, obviously, that's just the amount that people have done. He was like, I'm sure someone's had 10. I was like, well, I don't think so.
Because that's the litter.
Yeah. I was like, I'm sure they haven't because there's no name for it.
Yeah.
He was like, no, they definitely have. When I went to, and I was like, yeah, okay. He was like, when I went to the, and he had 10 kids. And I was like, yeah, not at once. Just 10 children.
I did see this TikTok of this woman who has 27 children because she had like back-to-back quintuplets or something, which is insanity.
Yeah, well.
So she had like 3 or 4 pregnancies but had 27 children or something. I don't know. That math's probably
all
not
all I can thin. Say is Mormons be doing what they do.
Be doing what they do. Okay, so... So I'm going to set up the world for this series.
Oh.
We're going to do some world building. We're not just going to read descriptions. I'm going to do some world building.
So excited.
So, in this world, we have the marshals that are like the soldiers. They are a bit Roman Empire-esque, if you ignore all real history, but they have the same vibe. And then you have the scholars, which are a slave race, essentially. The marshals are slowly invading more and more countries, but scholars are the first people that they have subjugated. Scholars are a people that have a culture of, like, education and being peaceful and connections with the earth and blah, blah, blah. There's also tribes people in this, but they come into it later. But there's tribe people in sort of the wild lands as well, and then other countries from there. So our 2 main characters, one of them is born into being a marshal. He is being trained to be a mask, which is like this brutal, and I mean genuinely brutal, more than Fourth Wings, it's like a little academy, training system where I think 5% of the children admitted. So they take children, by the way.
Yeah.
They take children.
Oh, what, like kidnap?
Yeah.
Oh.
So their priesthood that's called augurs. Just go along and take children that are selected for it. And they get told by magic and priests. Yeah. Which children to take. and they get trained to be what's called a mask, which is like the top of tippy top of their elite soldiers.
So do parents like hide their children from them?
They will be murdered by other masks. They are elite soldiers. So yeah, people tend to, and it's also meant to be quite an honour. So for some people view it as quite an honourable thing to have your child taken for this, even though they probably will die. Mm. His mother happens to be the commandant for the military. Mm-hmm. However, when she had him as a child, she didn't want him. You get the impression it was not consensual.
When he was a child, conception. Or she had him as a child?
She had him as an adult.
Okay.
But you get the impression it wasn't super consensual.
Okay.
But anyway, what she does is she takes him out to the desert and gives him to the tribes people in the desert.
Oh.
And she's like, I don't want it.
It's
but
yours.
Of course they can't kill it, so have it, because it has... Oh no, he has her eyes. So he's like, he has my eyes, I can't kill him. Take it.
It's yours now.
So he's raised with the tribes people. He's not raised among the marshals and doesn't really get their rhetoric about their indoctrination. And then he's taken to be a mask.
Oh.
When they get taken when they're like 6 or 7.
Oh, little bomb.
Yeah, and it's brutal what that gets done to them. There's 1 year of the training where they basically get let out into the wilderness and with no weapons, no money, and they have to just survive for a year.
That's like
they're not allowed to come back.
That's like sending my little boy out.
Yeah. So I think the 9 or 10, they get sent out.
Like when he ran away from home and all he took was his toothbrush. And a baby bell.
Just the essentials.
And some pants.
Oh, bless him.
And his little bag. And he was going to go live with the wolves.
Does he know we don't have wolves?
Yeah, I told him maybe some foxes might take him in.
Yeah.
But we couldn't find him.
Oh.
We went for a drive, but we couldn't find him.
So he drove you to his running away?
No,
he
has to be driven. He was going to walk away, and then I said, why don't I take you for a drive and help you find some foxes?
I like that way of dealing with it. Yeah.
We drove literally for like an hour and didn't find any foxes on the main roads.
That's one way to de-escalate it.
Yeah. And we also got a McDonald's on the way because I was like, you need to fill up on your energy before you go live with the fox. And then we're all calm when we got home. Anyway.
If it works, it works. Yes, so they get kicked out for like 3 years at one point and are just like... Whoever survives. So he is at the end of his training, at the point where the story starts. Mm. He has basically survived this far because he figured out... Because basically, if you run away, you get killed.
Mm.
It's immediate death. Even if you don't make it further than the gates, if you go, you're immediate death.
Because you're...
AWOL.
Yeah.
No?
What I was thinking of. Can't think.
No. Cannot think.
Brain does not commute.
not in this heat.
Compute.
Yeah, he's like, if I survive to graduation, graduation night is the only night they don't watch us. Mm. So that's going to be my night to go.
So how old are they when they graduate?
17, 18, I think.
Oh, so they're there for like 10 years?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, they're trained their whole lives. They are
really indoctrinated.
Brutal soldiers.
Yeah.
And he is like the best of them.
Of course.
But he doesn't want to be. He hates it.
I'm guessing most of them have bought into the whole thing by this point. Yeah.
So he's got two best friends. One of them is a girl called Helene. One girl gets selected per year.
Oh.
So she obviously goes through quite a lot.
All right. Success.
Yeah. But Helene's like almost better than him. They're competing for the top of the class all the time. And she is for the Empire. Mm. Like she doesn't see anything wrong with it. Occasionally he has tried to talk to her about like, I don't like that we just kill scholars. And she's like,
bitch, it's our job.
Like, you're a traitor.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't say things
I'm
like that.
I'm dubbing you.
You're going to get in trouble. No, she wouldn't snitch on him.
No.
But she's just very uncomfortable with it. So over time, he stopped telling her.
Yeah.
And then we have our main character, Lyra, who's a marshal. Not a marshal, she's a scholar. So she's technically one of the free scholars. But, like, they're still heavily kind of monitored and ruled over.
So is it dual POV? Does it follow both of them?
Yeah. Lyra's brother has gotten in with the resistance. So the story starts with them.
It's always good when there's a resistance.
Yeah. Well, her parents were leaders in the resistance, and that's what killed them. Okay. So she lives with her grandparents. Mm. So her brother gets caught, essentially. The masks come to her home. Not Elias, the ones who are fully trained masks.
Mm-hmm.
come to her home, kill her grandparents, just cause, burn the house down, try to kill her, but she gets away, because they're like, we don't really care about a scholar girl. She's going to die anyway, because she's on her own now. And they take her brother away, and she finds sort of incriminating evidence that makes her believe he was working with the resistance. So she kind of is like, I've got no one. So she sets out to find the resistance. She finds them. And she's like, hey, my mum used to be in charge of you. please help. And they're like, fuck off. No, we're not. Like, we're nothing like we used to be, because we got your mum did. Your mum fucked up. So, no, we're not wasting the resources rescuing one boy. He actually wasn't working with us. We know nothing about him.
Mm.
But what he was doing, which is why he got in trouble, is he was working with a swordsmith from the martial side, and he was apprenticing under him and was taking notes. And basically, the reason scholars can never get out under martial rule is because they cannot produce the same steel. Mm. The quality of their steel will never be the same.
Okay.
And it's like the secret to their weapon forging is the reason the martials rule.
Right.
And he has found a swordsmith who's turned his back on the empire.
Oh.
And
so he knows the tricks.
Yeah, so he's been secretly apprenticing, and this swordsmith knows. So then Lyra goes to that guy, and that guy's like, you're gonna get us both killed, fuck off. And she's like, okay, what can I do in return? And the resistance are like, yeah, so if you pretend to be a slave, go work in the commandant's castle and spy on her, get some information about how we can get into the training grounds, we might go rescue your brother as payment. And she's quite young and naive at this point, and she's like, okay, I'll do it.
This is something I could do. Off I go.
She's always lived as a free person.
Yeah.
So the brutal realities of being a slave happened to her quickly, because the commandant is a bitch.
Yeah.
And I don't say this lightly. She is a bitch. She gets beaten quite quickly. She works. They're not allowed to have names.
Mm.
So there's cook, there's slave girl, which is Izzy, who's kind of like the scullery maid.
Okay.
And then there's her, who's kind of lady's maid almost to the commandant.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what her slave nickname is actually, but she literally calls little Izzy slave girl, and Izzy had her eye taken out as punishment for something the cook did.
Oh.
Yeah. So the cook fucked up, so she took Izzy's eye. So the cook is like, don't care about anyone. Don't let her know you care about Izzy. Like, she becomes friends with Izzy, and she's like, no, don't let her know. The cook realises who she is.
Oh.
Because she recognises her, because she looks a lot like her mother, apparently. When the cook is like, I knew your parents are the reason I'm here. I hate you. I hate your parents. I'm not going to help you. I know you're from the resistance. That cook clocks her straight away. And like, lots of fucked up shit happens because the commandant's a bad person. She carves a K into her chest as punishment. With a knife.
What is wrong with this?
Yeah.
This is just like disgusting behaviour.
Yeah. Elias obviously doesn't agree with the...
It's a lot more grim than I thought it was.
Yeah, it's really deep and gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Elias's plan to escape gets ruined because he gets selected. So the augurs are in charge of things, even though there is an emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, every so a few hundred years, they declare it's time to do trials to select the new emperor.
Mm.
But that hasn't happened for a really long time. So the current family has been reigning for like 400 or 500 years. And then they're like, yeah, we're going to just hold some trials to get a new emperor. Mm. Soz bitch. And Elias is one of the aspirants selected alongside Helene. And then two guys who are twins. One of them's really nice. One of them's an absolute psychopath.
Mm.
And then a bunch of other people from the academy get selected, so then he can't leave. So then he's stuck there.
Yeah.
So he goes through a series of trials as part of this. And bad stuff happens in these trials, because they're trials to the death.
Because it doesn't sound like anything good happens anywhere in this world.
No. So one of the twins ends up killing his twin, and then being haunted by his twin.
Yeah. To haunt my twin if they killed me.
Yeah. So that's one of the trials, is like, tries to trick them into killing someone they care about. So like, Elias tries to get tricks into killing Helene and stuff like that. And throughout this, he bumps into Lyra over time, and he notices her straight away. He's like, she's not a slave, because she doesn't carry herself like one. Yeah. She carries herself like a free woman.
Like, she can walk properly.
And
like,
he one point sort of tells her, like, you need to
Like, make yourself look a bit more depressed.
And she's like, who the fuck are you to talk to me? Like, shut up. And he's like, that would be a good example not. And there's
not conforming.
There's quite a few times where he gets her out of trouble. So, like, one time she snuck out to do some spying, gotten caught.
She's not very good to spy.
No. And he pretends that he had taken her out of her bed, because you're just allowed to, like, assault slaves willy-nilly. So he pretends that's what he's been doing. And he's like, resist me, and then pins her against the wall, and then this, like, commandant mum comes down the corridor, and she lies like, I did not hear her come in, and it's obviously part of his mask training.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes from there, her spying.
So does she actually have a way to feed back anything she learns?
Yes. She is, because of her role under the commandant, she goes out to do the shopping. And when she goes out to do the shopping is when she
has a little meet-up.
Yeah, meets in the square and they exchange information.
Whilst they're, like, next to each other picking fruit or whatever.
Yeah. And obviously it's a cute boy from the Resistance called Keenan who's, like, there. That becomes important later. And she starts to find actually useful information. The Resistance can't be in, like, it's not good enough. And, like, she's getting, like, hurt. She's getting tortured. She's getting beaten. At one point, she gets left to die. So one of the, because the students are kind of allowed to just beat slaves to death.
Yeah.
As long as they're not seen doing it.
So they basically have no intention of helping her get her brother.
No. And she kind of starts to realise this, but she also starts to realise something else is going on. She sees the commandant meeting with a mysterious figure who's, like, made out of shadows. And throughout the trials that they do, Elias and Helene bump into, like, djinns and, like, wind spirits and things like that. So lots of magical things start to happen. Helene actually ends up getting some strange magical power. When she sings, she can heal people.
Oh.
And she's like, Marshall through and through. She's like, I don't want fucking nothing to do with this. No one can hear about this. And that's how, like, he saves Laya.
I'll be like, everyone ready for my Taylor Swift concert? Yeah. It's going to sound terrible.
You're all going to feel way better afterwards, though. Because my magic singing. Like, that's how Elias heals Laya, is through with Helene's magic and stuff like that. So they just get closer over time. And then, in the end, we find out the commandant knew all along.
That she was a slight...
Resistance, part of the resistance.
A spy?
Yeah, and shit goes wrong.
That sounds cray-cray.
And Elias basically almost wins the trials, and in the final trial, Commandant's clocked that he likes Laya.
So she uses Laya, does she?
So Laya is the final trial. They have to kill her. The first person to kill her wins the trial.
This sounds like it'd be a really good TV show.
Yeah, well, there's been rumours about a movie for ages that have never sort of gone anywhere.
Is this a YA?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was, yeah.
They escape the capital.
Capital.
Together.
Yeah, capital.
But there's more layers to this story. So in their escape, Elias gets stabbed by his mother with a poison knife. So a lot of book two is Laya just trying to find a cure for the poison, because that's what her grandparents did. She knows some medicine. So she's just trying to keep Elias alive, and also the entire place is hunting for them. The entire country is hunting for them.
It's available in my library, so I'm just...
Without spoilers, Helene ends up being someone quite important. The psychopath guy ends up being more important. And she has to answer to him. And he's like, go hunt Elias. Damn.
Oh.
And Helene's like, I am loyal to the Emperor first. Also, he has my entire family hostage. And he's threatening to marry my baby sister.
Yeah.
And I don't want her to marry a psychopath. So she's like, okay, I'll have to hunt down my best friend, I guess. Honestly, the treatment of Helene...
This all sounds so depressing.
The treatment of Helene in this series is brutal. Helene doesn't get a break. Not for four books. Her ending, terrible.
She's just not... Oh,
no happy ending for Helene. We think we're going to get one, and we don't. So they... She... And over... They... And from there, once she kind of sort of cures Elias, but Elias knows it's not forever. But doesn't tell her that. Because he keeps going to the waiting place where the dead go. So, like, he knows he's dying.
Yeah.
He's like, I am dying. But I'm not going to ruin things for her. We're going to go bust your brother out ourselves.
Yeah.
So they connect with some tribespeople who he owe Elias a favour. And they bust the brother out of prison. And in doing so, he kind of finally succumbs to the poison.
Oh.
Goes to the waiting place. And he says, like, right, I'm so close to letting her help her free her brother. I will become the new soul catcher, release you. So this is the soul catcher who lives in the waiting place.
Right.
And this is kind of this mysterious woods, which is a physical place on the map as well.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, is there a map?
Yeah, it's a real physical place. The waiting place. Yeah. There's this creepy woods.
Ooh.
And souls are there until they're ready to move on.
Okay.
And the soul catcher helps them move on.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a curse. And the person who's the soul catcher currently, it's her punishment. That's why she's there. And she's like, hey, if you free me, you can live. But you have to be the new soul catcher. Mm. And he's like, deal, let me just go finish this. And that's what book three is then, him in the waiting place being trained to be the new soul catcher. Oh. But like,
he can't catch a break either, really.
Yeah, yeah, no, she's brutal to all these characters. If you watch her TikTok, she makes loads of jokes about it.
She's like, ha 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 ha.
And Liar, like, the scholars are being hunted. The commandant has seized power. All sorts of shit goes down. Helene's still trying to hunt Elias. Her baby sister does get married to the psychopath and is carrying the future heir of the kingdom. You good?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what other books she's written. I feel like I recognise her name, but it must just be from this series.
I think she has done other books.
Because I'm looking at this and nothing else really jumps out or something.
I know she's writing something. She does lots of TikToks talking about writer's block and joking that she's 2 years overdue on a book.
Oh.
So Helene's sister is pregnant with the future heir to the kingdom. But the commandant's been like, actually, she wins a big battle. And she's like, I'm going to claim Emperor Victoris, which means I won a big battle. I'm emperor now. Right. And so the country's completely divided. Helen's whole family are being held hostage in this situation. Her baby sister's pregnant with the future heir. Like, shit is going down. All the while, something is wrong with the waiting place and souls are escaping because Elias isn't passing them over quickly enough because he won't surrender his humanity. And then a big war kicks off with one of the neighbouring kingdoms who are secretly being funded by the commandant to invade the big city, but then they also get possessed by the dead because the djinn are helping her. So the big dark shadow.
Oh, this sounds really fun.
And so there's the backstory to this is that the reason the scholars are subjugated is they essentially helped imprison the djinn in the waiting place and kind of killed them all.
Oh.
So the djinn in turn have been working to have cursed the scholars in turn, which is why the scholars have been subjugated for like thousands of years.
Yeah.
It's all in punishment for something their ancestors did.
Ancestors always be doing shit.
Be doing shit. And the guy who's in charge of the djinn are basically trying to, he's working to release them. So that's the other story that's going on this whole time, is there's pieces of a star. That star will help release them.
Right.
Liar was carrying one of them. Keenan, the guy from earlier.
Yep.
Who gained her trust.
The spy guy.
Yeah. She ends up sort of falling for him. Trusts him with this
trick star.
Trusts him with a silver bangle. She shouldn't have trusted him. I don't know if that's spoilers. I don't think it is. They've been out a while. So yeah, he's collecting pieces of the star. Other people within this circle of main characters have pieces of the star, all getting betrayed left, right and centre by the Nightbringer, who's in charge of the djinn. Yeah. And so there's a whole other, between the, it's like a war between kingdoms and like battling for power at the same time as you've got this magical, mystical land and like the souls of the dead.
That sounds really cool.
It's so good. And like Elias has to give up his humanity and give up.
Do they all entwine really well together, like all of the storylines?
Yeah, yeah. We're halfway, so I think I'm almost done. So yeah, the curse that's on the djinn is what the djinn are trying to break. That's why the scholars, you know, so it's all connected.
Yeah.
And the waiting place and what's wrong with it is all connected to what's going on.
Ah.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
And the ending is so satisfying, although poor Helene does not get a happy ending. But Elias and Lyra do. The last fucking second, by the way.
Keep you on your toes.
But it's slow burn, nothing happens. Like, I think they kiss. Yeah. So I guess that's why probably it hasn't got much hype on TikTok. Because it is like, it's plot. There you go. Have I persuaded you to read them? They're not.
I just borrowed the audiobook for the first one.
I really love the audio as well.
Yeah.
The girl who does Liar's voice, perfect, spot on. But it's just about, like, it's about subjugation and war and power and blah, blah, blah. It's so good. Cook ends up being someone very important.
Oh, yeah.
and what happens to Cook is brutal.
It sounds like everything's brutal.
They none of these characters catch a break.
For some reason, my library only has book 1 and 4. Helpful.
I've got all my Audible. If you sneaky log in.
Oh.
I rebought them all to listen. I guess they're on the ground.
I thought I'd just look at that. Oh.
That's no, my hype for this whole series.
That sounds really good, yeah. I borrowed it. I'll try and listen to it whilst it's still in my head that I should listen to it.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah. It's got book 2, Torch Against the Night.
What, the books or audio, sorry?
View all audiobooks. Oh, Ember Quartet. Is that all 4 books? 4 titles in this series.
Hmm.
Torch Against the Night, Sky Beyond the Storm.
Cool.
I think it's missing book 3, Reaper at the Gates.
Hmm. I'm sure I'll find them somewhere.
Well, yeah, I didn't tell you guys what the names of all the books in the series are.
Well, yeah, do that
quickly, and then we'll move on to your book. An Ember in the Ashes is book 1, but that's the name of the whole series as well, which is smart. I like when authors do that.
Yeah.
A Torch Against the Night, A Reaper at the Gates, and A Sky Beyond the Storm. I have the original covers. I don't like the new covers.
No, I don't like these. What are the original ones?
Ooh, can I do this without ruining anything?
Oh, I could probably find it on Storygraph.
Hold on. No, Storygraph doesn't have all the old covers. But I've got all the way to book 4 of the old covers.
Oh, they're pretty.
Mm-hmm.
The new ones are like that Sarah J. Maas style, isn't it? Yeah. No, I don't know. Oh, cool. Yeah, I will give that a try, definitely.
Ooh. I was really... I did proper research that time.
Yeah.
I went through it and reread summaries of the books.
Ooh,
not just like the how it ended and stuff. Alright, now we're over to you.
Okay, so the series I'm going to talk about was originally a webcomic, and it, up to date, it's amassed 124 million views as a webcomic. And then the author, Alice Oseman, so you probably know what this is now, crowdfunded a limited print run of the first book of Heartstopper. And she met her funding goal in less than 2 hours for it. It then got picked up by Hachette Children's Group. And from 2019, they've started releasing them as bound volumes. So we're on volume 5 now as physical copies. So if you don't know about this series, Alice Oseman has a back catalogue of books, and they're all YA, and they all are in the same universe. And she wrote a book called Solitaire, which follows a teenager called Victoria Spring, who kind of comes to terms with the fact that she's not romantically interested in people, and she comes to terms with the fact that she's asexual, which is very much inspired by the author's own personal journey to discovering that she is asexual. And in Victoria's, or Tori, she's known as, in her story, her brother Charlie plays a big part, and fans really love seeing Charlie and his boyfriend Nick. So Alice Oseman decided to do a webcomic on how Charlie and Nick got together.
Yeah.
So it's like a prequel side thing to Solitaire. And so, yeah, Heartstopper follows Charlie and Nick and how they get together, I guess, have like their love story. So it's based in, all of her books are based in Britain, in England to be specific. So we follow Charlie and Nick at the beginning. Charlie's in year 9 and Nick is in year 10.
So year 9 is about age 13, 14?
Yeah, so he's 14 at the beginning of the series, because he has his 15th birthday during it, and then obviously got on. I'll talk about them individually. So at the beginning of the story, Charlie has had a bit of an awful year. So the year before, he was outed as gay, and so he was 13 at the time. They go to a British grammar school. It's a boys only one. And as you can imagine, Charlie was not treated very well. He was bullied a lot.
Yep.
And he has a lot of trauma still from that. He developed a severe dose of like anxiety, And it also manifested as an eating disorder. He literally wanted to disappear, so he stopped eating. So he is suffering. At the beginning of book one, it's a new school year. He's slightly feeling better. He feels at least more confident in the fact, like more confident and comfortable with the fact that everyone knows he's gay, and it's just like they're going to have to deal with it. And by this point, the bullies have got a bit bored because once you've done a few gay jokes, it's kind of not much left to do. He has had some therapy to try and help, but obviously these things don't go away just like that. He's also in a kind of make out hookup situation. It's not a relationship with a guy at school who wants to keep it a secret. So he messages Charlie and he's like, meet in the library before first period. And he goes and like they make out. And so Charlie's like, he doesn't realize it, but he's feeling a little bit used. But he's at that point where he's just taking any form of kind of love.
Yeah.
And then Nick, on the other end of the spectrum, he is a rugby lad. And he has a big group of friends that have been his friends for ages, you know, all the rugby team. He's very, I don't know, like he's floating through school. It's all going good for him. Yeah. We all went to school with someone like that.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the first volume, they are now doing like a bit of vertical form room teaching. So,
my school did this.
Yeah. So Charlie and Nick end up in the same form room and the teacher puts them together, sits them next to each other, and they slowly start to become friends.
Yeah.
And Nick kind of takes Charlie under his wing. He's kind of aware of Charlie from all of the bullying. A lot of Nick's friends were actually the people that bullied Charlie. So he knows, whilst he was never involved in it, he was aware of it. And they start to become friends. It starts with them just saying hi, and then goes from there. They start talking a bit more. Then they decide to hang out together outside of school. So they like do studying together. And Nick has a dog, and Charlie's always wanted a dog. So Nick invites him over to walk the dog and things like this. And it's just really cute watching like their little friendship blossom. And it's so... It, like, really takes you back to being that age. You know, they meet up and go to the park to walk the dog, or they play PlayStation together. Or just all these really cute little scenes. And Alice Oseman really captures, like, those little slice of life moments with all of the feelings.
Yeah.
Like, she does so well.
Things feel so big when you're that age,
yes,
don't they?
Exactly. And while this is going on, Nick decides that he thinks Charlie would he sees Charlie in track running, and he's like, he's a really fast runner.
Yeah,
like Charlie's known for being quite a fast runner. And he's like, you'd be really good at rugby. And Charlie's like, no, I'm like literally the skinniest little beanpole. And he's like, no, trust me, you will be good at rugby. So he convinces Charlie to come to rugby practice and try out, and everyone agrees that he'd be good to run past and whatever. I don't really know much about rugby.
There is a position, again, I only know this because I dated someone who was this position in rugby.
Yeah,
where it's the guy, they throw it to you out of the scummy
bit,
and he just runs really fast. They're not the super bulky guys generally, because they're meant to be the sprinters.
They start spending more time together. Nick is tasked by the coach to get Charlie up to speed, because he doesn't know anything about rugby. And then he starts getting along with like the rugby lads, and he starts, I don't know, feeling like happy and like he has a place at school. He also has some best friends from like outside of Nick's group, obviously his best friends. So he has, I need to double check their names. He has one friend who always has a beanie, and it reminds me of
Jughead. Thingy from Riverdale. I'm not a normal guy, I wear a beanie guy.
So Tao Chu, so he's like Charlie's best friend. They have a friend called Ellie who has come out as trans. So she was in school with them till the year before. Now she goes to like the girls' school that's like the
attached, like linked school.
Sister school or something. Yeah.
So there's a whole side plot throughout the series of Tao and Ellie, because they kind of like each other, but they don't realize they like each other, and everyone else can see it. So they have like a cute little side plot, and everyone talks to Nick, or like giggles. Ribs Nick that he used to have a crush on this girl from the girls' school called Tara. So then Charlie's like jealous of Tara. Mm. And Tiao always says to Charlie, don't fall for another straight guy.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna get hurt. Charlie's like, no, we're just friends. And he's like, no, I see it. There's more.
It's coming for you. Yeah.
And they also have a friend called Elide, who doesn't really have much until like volume 3.
Okay.
He like, when he does have a bit of a thing going on, it's him coming to the realization that he might be gay. So his like story comes later on.
Yeah.
And then Nick then invites Charlie to go to a birthday party of one of Nick's friends. And Charlie's like, are you sure? Because they're not really like my vibe. And Nick's like, no, you should definitely come. And it's this guy called Harry. And Harry used to be one of the biggest bullies of Charlie.
Yeah.
And Nick's like, I will protect you. He is a dick, but he's not like that anymore. And Charlie's like, okay, I trust you. So he goes to the party and Nick gets there before him and he's just waiting for Charlie to arrive. He's just looking around, looking for him. And Harry and his other friends are kind of ribbing him a bit, like, oh, your friends with that queer, and like using a lot of gay slurs.
Yeah.
And Nick's getting more and more uncomfortable and he's like, he's my mate, don't talk about him that way. And then Charlie finally arrives and Nick's like, I was just waiting for you. Like, he literally pushes through the dance floor to get straight to him. And he's like, I'm so pleased you're here. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And then go to another room where they can sit by themselves and just have a chat. And then they end up like touching hands. And oh my gosh, it's so cute. And then Charlie says to him, like, can I kiss you? And Nick says yes. And they kiss. And then Charlie, and then afterwards, Nick gets up and just runs out the room. Oh. And Charlie's like, oh, he was a straight guy. And so Charlie leaves, and then Nick is running out the room and he bumps into his friends. And then Harry is like making a load of really horrible homophobic comments. So Nick punches him and leaves. And then in the car on the way home, his mum's like, did you have a fun time? And he's like, not really. Like, and then he explains that he punched
Harry,
thank you. He punched Harry because he was being horrible to his new best friend, Charlie. Yeah. And his mum's like, okay, and you two are good friends? And you see her eyes like, ooh, while she's driving. And Nick's like, yeah. And she's like, okay, if you ever want to talk, just let me know. And yeah, so then...
Is that the one that Olivia Colman plays?
Yes.
In Netflix? Yeah. Right, yeah. Okay, yeah. I've seen those
scenes. Yeah, so this does have a Netflix show. I've only seen a few episodes. I need to catch up, but the casting is perfect, spot on. And Alice Oseman had a big hand in it, so it's very well done. Yeah, so then it's a lot about Nick coming to terms with what his sexuality is. He always just assumed he was straight, but now he knows he has feelings for Charlie.
Yeah.
So then they do start dating. Not a spoiler, because I said at the beginning they're boyfriends. They do start dating and they're keeping it on the down low because Nick's not ready to come out. And then so a lot of volume 2 is about Nick getting to that point he's ready to come out. And he struggles to find a name for what he is. And Charlie's like, maybe bisexual. He looks up that and he's like, yeah, maybe. And then like he eventually comes out to his mum. And then his brother finds out, and his brother's extremely homophobic about it. So there's a lot of this
from the show on TikTok.
There's a lot of this kind of stuff about him, and like coming out to his friends, and obviously he's going to lose a lot of friends over it. In the meantime, and it's also causing Charlie a bit of stress, which like exacerbates his eating disorder. Things like that. Charlie's doing, like, preparing for his exams, his GCSEs, which is making him very stressed.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of, like, bubbling up between them. When they're together, they're really cute and supportive.
Yeah.
But they're both going through all these things by themselves. And they also, like, Nick basically steps away from his friends and just... They basically build their new friendship group. So they have, like, Charlie's friends... and then they have, so the girl that Nick was being ribbed over for having a crush on Tara. Turns out Tara's a lesbian and she has a girlfriend called Darcy, and those two together flipping love them. Mm. And they become part of their friendship group, and they just build this really cute little supportive friendship group. Yeah, and despite like Charlie's family knowing he's gay, because he's always known he's gay, he doesn't really have like a coming out moment. Yeah. Despite them knowing he's gay, they're kind of a bit funny about it, or rather his mum is. So when they tell his parents that like him and Nick are together, she starts getting a bit weird about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, they're only like 15, 16 as the series goes on. So obviously eventually they're going to become the sturdy kind of happy couple that we see in Solitaire. I strongly recommend it. It makes you feel so many things.
Charlie's the skinny guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't he struggle with self-harm as well? I've seen some of those.
Yeah. So it's all very... Yeah. He's going for it, bless him. Mm. And he keeps a lot of it in, and he doesn't want to disappoint people. Oh, yeah, and right at the beginning, sorry, I forgot, that guy that he's, like, seeing on the download, Ben, there is a point where he gets a bit physical with Charlie and Nick steps in and breaks it up.
Yeah.
I think it captures British schooling so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so well. Like, you know, they go on, they're having, when it's Charlie's birthday, they go bowling and just, like, it's just... Yeah.
I mean, I would hope that these days it's different, but I guess it depends on where you go to school.
Kids are not born to hate, so it very much depends on how kind of disgusting their family are.
Yeah.
Because they do repeat what they hear.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But yeah, strongly recommend. It's really good. I think you can still read it online, like on Tumblr was where she originally had it. I think you can read it on Webtoon as well, or, you know, by the...
I mean, this one's been on my list forever, but I know I have big feelings.
Yeah.
So I gave you the first one.
Alice Oseman's illustrations are beautiful.
She draw them as well.
Yeah. She does the whole lot. That's cool. Yeah, she's an illustrator. And yeah, I really want to go through her back catalogue of other books. I've got them, or like her novels. I've got them all because they look so beautiful together. And Radio Silence is supposed to be really like... It'll really remind you of being a teenager and all shitty times, but in like a kind of nostalgic way.
Mm.
But yeah, Solitaire, she published when she was 19.
Oh, I know, right? Rude.
Yeah.
Talent so young. How fucking dare you?
So I strongly recommend Heartstopper. If you're not a person that tends to read graphic novels or you haven't really tried before, this might be a really good one to try.
Gateway.
It's just really cute and like slice of life and contemporary, but it does have like some harder topics, but I think it's well worth it. Yeah. That's it. That's all right. I got. Yeah.
That's pretty good. We got like a whole fantasy and then a whole complete different vibe for the second half.
I was going to do a fantasy series, but I decided to do Heartstopper instead. So I'm glad I did, because otherwise it would have been, I think, too much world building.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I wanted us to go into it blind and just present a book to the other.
Yeah, we literally didn't know what each other were going to do until we started talking, so
love that.
Yeah, love that for us.
On brand, of course. Did you enjoy this? It was just something a bit different, because we've done like whole entire episodes focusing on one series, but I was like, this is a bit more focused than we usually do, but not quite an entire hour. What do you think? Did you like it? Can you tell me somewhere? I think Spotify are releasing the ability to be able to do comments.
That's coming.
I don't know when it's coming, but if it's happened by the time this comes out, leave us a comment.
Yeah, we'd love
that. Tell me what you thought.
Yeah. And then you can also join us on any of our socials. We have a Facebook group. We have a Discord. All the links will be like in our link, our card, or in our description, whatever. Come and chat to us there. Let us know anything that's on your mind. We really want to build a community where we can hear back from you, and it's not just us rabbiting at you with no feedback. We have a buddy read going on. It's not too late to join in. It runs through July and August, and this is called My Boss is the Devil.
Yeah.
And it is by Ben Schenkman, and this is a fantasy that's available on Kindle Unlimited. If you have Kindle Unlimited, September we'll have an episode where we go into our thoughts about it.
Yep.
But you can share your thoughts on the Story Graph buddy read, which will be included in the description link, or on our Discord.
Yeah
And don't forget to like, download, subscribe, follow.
Yeah, blah, blah, all of blah. The good things, please. And we will see you next week for whatever that episode is.
I think it's a reading update, but don't quote us on it.
I think it's
you check our Instagram.
I think it's the love, toxic love, love interest or something.
I think that's the second one that we're doing next recording. Anyway, yeah. We actually do monthly posts the list of what's coming out that month. So if you ever are interested, because I'm aware our style
will be for everyone.
Yeah, our style is dip in, dip out, so you can see what's upcoming on our Instagram as well and Facebook. All right.
Lovely. We'll speak to you soon. Goodbye. Bye.